dig that.
Oh, hell yeah.
She's a bad man, a devil. I'm a black man in a white world. I'm a black man in a white world.
If I wasn't a Christian man, I'd probably be kicking in your ass.
Thank you.
I'm a black man in a white world. I'm a black man.
Welcome to the latest episode of the JB's Low Tech Podcast. Today is semi-emergency podcast day. It's April 1st, and this is no April Fool's joke, the topic I'm going to cover today. It's a double standard in college sports, and I'm here to talk about everything here next on the JB's Low Tech Podcast.
When you need someone to listen, a lawyer you know and trust.
In a world filled with distractions, one law firm stands tall, fighting for justice. Bradshaw and Bryant.
I'm Mike Bryant from Bradshaw and Bryant. We take our mission very seriously. Our firm is dedicated to representing those who have suffered due to the fault of others, especially when they're distracted by their phones. 4 seconds. That's all it takes to travel the length of a football field. But those same 4 seconds can change lives forever. Don't be the person who causes irreversible damage to others or yourself. Put your phone down when you're behind the wheel and be aware of your surroundings. Bradshaw and Bryant have championed the rights of the injured for over 3 decades. We excel at what we do. Bradshaw and Bryant is ready to fight for you.
Find Bradshaw and Bryant, personal injury attorneys at minnesotapersonalinjury.com.
Seeking justice for the injured. Bradshaw and Bryant.
Mike Wilmer.
No flex zone, no flex zone. They know better, they know better. No flex zone, no flex zone. They know better, they know better.
Wanna go metal,
go flex,
and a gold bezel. I treat it so special, special. Now you hold jelly, freak, got several.
And I'm back. That song has, the wording has something to do with today's topic, which I said is a double standard. And this title of this episode is going to be, what is a young lady to do in college sports? Seems like it's, they get hit on three sides. You know, their sports are living off of the sweat of men's football players and men's basketball players. I'm not here to talk about that today. But then they also get caught up in race, and they also get caught up in gender. And those two things I am going to talk about. And I know that people were saying to themselves, now how could this be an issue? It's a very big issue in college athletics. And it's one that I had a very good point of view for many years as I worked with college softball, women's soccer, women's gymnastics, women's track in my years at the University of Minnesota. So, and some of my friends from college were women's basketball players. So I kind of see things from a different point of view, you may say. But I clearly see the double stereotypes and other things they have to deal with. And that's why I was wondering, what is a young woman to do? As I talk about this today, maybe you can think about things and maybe you can send me a message here and there about it. Are they allowed to be physical? This time of year, the NCAA basketball tournament is hot. Their numbers are up for the men's game, but also for the women's game. Attendance is sky high. The University of Minnesota hosted the women's Big Ten basketball tournament and men's, and the women's tournament outdrew the men's tournament. Now, Price has something to play with that. But also, Caitlin Clark had something to do with that. She plays at the University of Iowa, who is in the Big Ten Conference, and being that Minnesota is so close to Iowa, the Iowegians we got to come to the big city and see our girl play, because for a lot of them, that was their only chance to see her play because their arena was always sold out. Another thing is, and this always would happen when Iowa came in town late in November to play us in football, they came in town to do their shopping at the big city. So, but I digress. Are they allowed to be physical? Are they allowed to talk trash, make gestures? It seems that if they do, then they get called on it. You look at LSU women's basketball team. They'll let you know that they're coming, and they'll get physical and push you around. They'll make gestures. They'll talk trash. Even Caitlin Clark has been caught talking trash, getting on refs to the point her dad had to tell her from the stands to knock it off. But should they be allowed to without men getting their shorts, getting their shorts in a bundle over it, freaking out? It's I like I said, I've been around college female athletes for it was almost 20 years plus the time when I was a student, and they can turn that switch on just like men can and be competitive and be physical, and they want to win. Their competitiveness, they have the same thing the men have. Now, I will say things have grown for women's athletics as far as strength training and eyeballs to their game and how they play the game now. There was a reporter in town, I won't say his name, but he got in trouble for writing an article. This is 25 plus years ago. He called Minnesota high school basketball tiptoe ball throwing. And actually, back then, I didn't disagree with him. Because it was like somebody would, they would dribble the ball down, the person would stop, you would see three players fall down, she would take the shot, she would fall down, player would get the rebound, and they would fall down and make a pass. And it was like, what, does nobody have control over their body or anything like that? And if you had one good player on your team back then, that's all it took in the state of Minnesota, you basically rode that kid to state. My, have things changed. Now you see teams with 2-3 damn good D1 prospects. You see their physical strength, their ability, their agility. Everything can be seen when you watch them, even at the high school level, but even more at the college level. But it just seems to bring out the worst in a lot of men when they see this. I guess they expect them, they want them to be ladylike and play only the finesse game. And it's funny because in women's college hockey, they're not allowed to check. So it basically is just the finesse game. Now, my brother runs a basketball academy back in St. Louis, him and his buddy, a long-term buddy, and they teach the fundamentals. Now, I think people get finesse and fundamentals mixed up. You can be a very fundamentally sound team and still be physical. But a lot of people would tell you that, oh, I only want to see the finesse side, and I only want to see their fundamentals. I don't think they should be like the men. They shouldn't be physical. They shouldn't be mannish. They shouldn't talk trash to each other. Well, here's another point to that. A lot of those young ladies, as they grew up playing basketball, played with boys, young men, teens, preteens. And guess what those people do, especially teens and preteens? Talk trash. I never would coach the age group of 14 in hockey because they're some of the foul-mouthedest little somethings you ever want to hear in your life, because their body's changing, their look on life is changing, they want to challenge authority, So they're, you know, they're more apt to yell at refs and say things they're not supposed to. And so those young women have grown up with those type of young men. And it's part of their game now. It's part of their inner culture, whatever you want to call it. And they've learned how to be physical. They've learned how to talk trash. They learned how to be competitive and not back down. They want to get after it. And it seems like a lot of people, especially men in the press, who struggle with that. And I can't figure out why they struggle with that. It's not a, you know, you just watching athletes. That's how it should be looked at. You're watching athletes. No less, no more. Just like you look at the men's games, like you look at the pro men's games and the women's pro game when it comes to the WNBA, all games should be looked the same as athletes. You're going to have physical athletes. You're going to have finesse athletes. You're going to have intelligent athletes. I was talking about college hockey and no checking, and some people love it because they call it a finesse fundamental game. Guess what? This is the first year of the Women's Pro Hockey League, and they're allowed to check, and they get after it, just like the men do, running each other in the boards, taking each other out cleanly, doing all the things just like the men do, and they should be allowed to. If it's in the culture of the game, then it should be allowed to. But you can see that split just like you see women's lacrosse and men's lacrosse. Women's lacrosse, they wear is eye shields because they're not allowed to have body contact. You know, the eye shields are just to protect their eyes. They don't even wear helmets. The men's game, helmet with full cage, gloves on, elbow pads. And they get physical and get after it. That's what I'm talking about. Physicalness being built into the game. And so it's built into the game, so it's protected by all the things that they wear. Whereas the women's game, that is not an aspect of the game, being physical. So they only need the amount of protection to protect them, I guess. But getting back to women's college basketball, they are as physical as the men. And you saw it. Iowa State had a young woman, I think her name was Cooks or Crooks, and she's just as big as the young man, DJ Jr. down at North Carolina State. They're built exactly the same. And their game was almost 100% the same. She shot the ball a little bit better from the outside, but they were both post players who made great passes, who had wonderful foot control. They looked like mini Kevin McHales, both of them, how they moved around the basket and whatnot. When you, like I said, when you look at the game, just look at it for athletes. Don't look for them to be this or be that or be anything. Just enjoy the fact that they are athletes and they're competitive and they want to win, and they'll cut your throat or cut your heart out to get that. And like I said, I've been around some. There was a young lady on the soccer team, and I'll never forget this, and I won't mention her name, not to get her in trouble. We were at the University of Michigan, and we playing on a crappy, this is before Michigan finally got their women's soccer field straightened out. And we were playing somewhere, and the field was just terrible, and we were still kicking their butt. In all game, I kept hearing this kind of, it wasn't screaming, but it was trash talk to each other, and it was pretty loud. But I couldn't really figure out who it was until after the game, and there was a handshake line, and the University of Minnesota player said something like, "You're not my type." And the other young woman from Michigan kept yelling something. And I was like, and I was literally, at the time, I was bent over picking up practice balls and pennies that they were on the sideline. And I was like, what the heck's going on here? And I turn around and I look. And I look at her and I say, hey, what's going on here? And she said, oh, she's just mad because I kicked her ass all day long today. I wore her out. I was like, okay. Yeah, I get it. And she goes, now she wants to fight. And I told her, bring it on. It's like, yeah. I said, you, I can see saying that. And I said, but other people were going to jump in. The coach said something to you. And she said, I wasn't worried about it, JB. I knew you had my back. And I was like, okay, yeah, I guess. I was like, what the heck did I just hear and see? And that gave me an insight. This is 15 plus years ago, gave me an insight to killer instinct for you Minnesota people. Killer instinct. gave me insight into how a female athlete can also be competitive, physical, not back down, talk trash. Everything that people wince at when they hear it from young women. They want to get their panties in a bunch, I guess, over it, or their underwear. If you just look at them as athletes, you won't have that issue. But then there's another part to this double standard, and it's race. Race plays a part in this, too. You know, you go back to the old, he's an intelligent player, and he's got great physical tools. I didn't even have to. You didn't. In the 70s and 80s and even parts of the 90s, you didn't even have to turn around and look and see who they were talking about. Because if they were talking about the intelligent, heady person, they were 9 times out of 10 white. And if they were talked about as the physical player who doesn't, it was almost like they didn't need to practice. They just showed up on game day, and their physical attributes just took over, and they could do whatever they wanted, which is crap. They work as hard as their white companions, and the white companions are, in a lot of cases, are just as physical and just as athletic. So it took years for that stereotype to be beaten down in men's athletics. But now that ugly pimple is rear its head in women's sports. I mean, you go back and you look over history of Magic versus Bird. That was clearly white America versus black America. Intelligent player, Larry Bird. Can't jump, doesn't run fast against Magic Johnson, who can ballet across the court and make blind passes and dunk and do all these great things. Well, Larry Bird could do the same thing, but Larry's game was tuned differently. Larry could dunk on you. Larry made great passes, did all the same. And that double standard just continued. You know, you remember Duke versus UNLV. UNLV beat them the first time. And it almost broke America at that time that 5 black ball players kicked the crap out of their holier-than-thou young men from Duke University, who were 3 or 4 white guys on the court who, you know, this is a great educational institution, so they're smart and they're intelligent. And then the 2 black kids who, and I'm going to get on my own people, who would call them Oreos and Uncle Toms. For what? Because they wanted to play basketball and get a great education in a private school? No more, no less. Yes, We are part of the double standard. We think basketball belongs to us. That's why a lot of us won't play hockey. But that's another topic for another day. But we think we own basketball. Basketball is a cultural thing that has changed over the years. It used to be inner city Jewish people who played basketball for a lot of time. You would see the same thing with boxing. If you followed boxing, it went from whites to blacks to Hispanics to now you have Russians and Czechs and other places and other people now involved in the game. It's just cyclical. Things change, people move in, people move out, and it's the same way with women's athletics. When I was in school, to see a black athlete at a D1 school, you would have one or two on the basketball team, one maybe on the softball team. Now, I'm saying maybe. Most of them were on the track team. You know, they could run fast. So they were on the track team. And like I said, you'd have two or three on the women's basketball team. And that was it. We didn't have women's soccer when I was in school. But when it came in, I think it had, for the longest time, would only have one player on it. Women's ice hockey, lucky to find one player on it. But that helps shapes the cultural divide and racial divide and in women's college sports. You know, you also look at, and we're going to look at it tonight, April 1st, April Fool's Day, but this is no joke, LSU versus Iowa. You know, you have Iowa with Caitlin Clark and the press wanting to call her the greatest college basketball player of all time. Well, some of that has to do with the amount of points she scored. I think she's been there 5 years, which doesn't, you know, that's, you know, a year more than the women who she's passed. The other thing is she is on a team where the offense, everything flows through her. You look at the great teams from UConn and Tennessee and all those other ones that would play. Even Baylor, when Kim Mulkey, who's now the head coach at LSU, coached at Baylor. The offense or the team had at least two, three damn good offensive players. And they spread the ball around. They spread the points around. Stars got their points, but they weren't counted on. Just like if you see the night, LSU will not count on one person to get their points. Now, they'll probably have one player who will have more points. What's her name? Flo J or Flo Joe or Flo something. And then the other young woman, and I can't believe I can't think of her name. And everybody's screaming at your radio, scream it, but I won't hear it, that she's being sponsored. She's actually being sponsored by Shaq, and because Shaq went to LSU number one, if people don't remember or didn't know that. But all if you look, Shaq's on every damn commercial you find. So he decided to do NIL for this one young lady, whose name I can't remember. But when she plays and Caitlin Clark plays, everybody gets so bent out of shape on how they act and what the reactions are. I'm going to take a second and find out that young woman's name. As soon as I pause the recording, it's Angel Reese. I didn't even have to look it up. Angel Reese for LSU. Last year when they played each other, Iowa and LSU played each other national title. They both, just within the weekend of the Final Four, Caitlin Clark did the John Cena, you know, hand over the face wave, meaning that you can't see me, to the team that they just beat. And all you heard was, what a competitor. She's a killer. She's out to win. When Angel Reese did it, she's a thug. She should be kicked out of women's college basketball. She's a criminal. She's, you know, her team in a recent article in newspaper, I think it was the LA Times, called them dirty debutantes. Please do not type in dirty debutantes into your computer, because you will not be happy with what comes up. But from a reporter, who I believe it was a male reporter, to use those terms for young women is awful. And Coach Mulkey, who I have very low patience for, she had to defend her players on that. But it's the same thing that the head coach of South Carolina, now I'm struggling with her name, and it's going to come to me eventually. I'm seeing her face. I'm going to pause again and try to look up her name. South Carolina is coached by Dawn Stalasher. Remember that. She was a great player in college. She was an Olympian, won several gold medals. She was one of the people that started the WNBA. Not going to lie, when in my younger days, because we're about the same age, my younger days I had a kind of crush on her, but that doesn't matter. But Coach Staley had to beat down the same crap because, you know, her team was all black. So it was, you don't want to coach white players. Well, if she can get all the best players to her, it didn't matter if they were black or white or green or purple with polka dots. She just wanted the best players to fit her scheme. Now, did she recruit white players? Yes. But did they, you know, the players, well, I was curious, so you can't pay them to come there. Now you can pay them basically to come there. But players agreed not to come. Now she has, I think, one or two white players, one start, and is counted on. And she has the same, Coach Staley wants her to be as physical and athletic and whatnot as Cardoso, the big center for South Carolina. So what I'm driving at is, there is a double standard in women's college basketball, because they not only don't want them to be physical, but then they also don't want them to be themselves in the sense of how they grew up. You got to understand, these are 18 to 21 year olds, and they're learning their way and how to carry themselves and how to purport themselves and how to do all these different things that 18 to 21 year olds do. And people got to let them learn how to do an interview, how to handle themselves on the court, how to handle themselves in public. They're learning. They don't show up, just like I didn't show up when I was 18 years old when I came to the University of Minnesota. Now, I knew right from wrong, and they know right from wrong. But beyond that, they are learning how to, and sportswomanship. See, I didn't say menship. I said sportswomanship. It's still being, you know, the heart of a champion is somebody, as you heard, the Mamba effect for Kobe, the killer thing for Mike Jordan. It just, different athletes have different ways of labeling it, but they're always competitive. They always want to cut your heart out. You know, Joe Montana would talk about cutting somebody's heart out. You always look, you wanted to beat them. You wanted to be the best. That's why you're out there. Yes, you're getting paid. And now even in college athletics, yes, you're being paid. But still, these young people, they want championships. They want rings. They want to be remembered. They want to be, I hate the term, put on a pedestal, but they want to be champions. I got 11 Big Ten championship rings behind me. Only two of them were won by men's team. The other nine were won by softball, soccer, and women's gymnastics team. Women's gymnastics is the only sport basically where finesse comes into play until you need that power and strength to carry out your motions and movement. So even in a sport where everything's dainty and everybody's uniform is glittery and they prance around and they comport themselves differently, when it comes time for them to perform, they are looking for that killer instinct. They are looking to be able to drive forward and do it intelligently and physically. And that's the thing that people got to look at. You can't peel the layers back and just only see physicalness or only see intelligence. These young people have both, and that's why they are as good as they are, because they can move, think, do all the things they need to do to be successful. But you watch it tonight, race will rear its ugly head some point in somebody's news article or on Twitter. You know, Angel Reese is a this or that, and they're a bunch of criminals, and they play dirty. In the Los Angeles Times article, they claimed that UCLA was milking cookies and LSU was dirty debutantes and thugs. To write that about somebody that you've never sat down, talked to, you never watched outside of a basketball court is god-awful terrible. But it's happening, and it's going to happen tonight. And you're going to see everything heaped on Caitlin Clark will be great, and everything heaped on Angel Reese will have a tint of she's just a bad person. Well, Caitlin Clark can be a bad person too. Like I said, she did the same gestures, talk trash. Well, like they said, you hear old NBA players talk about Larry Bird talked more trash than anybody and could back it up. Caitlin Clark, from what I hear, can talk trash too with the best of them. And they don't make a big deal out of it. They don't call her a dirty player or anything like that. America, we got to do better. We got to be better. And we got to hold our athletes to the same standards, no matter if they're black or if they're white. We should hold them to the standard of good performance with great intelligence. Well, I'm going to get off my soapbox now. No, this has not been an April Fool's joke, but I'll be back after this message to wrap this up here on the JB's Low Tech Podcast.
Wait a minute. Was that text you sent so important you missed your turn? So important you just ran a red light? Is that next text so important that you won't see the ball roll into the street and the child chasing it? Hi, I'm Mike Bryant from Bradshaw & Bryant. Please remember that having your eyes off the road for as little as 4 seconds equals 100 yards. That's the length of an entire football field. And when your eyes are off the road that long, anything can happen. If you need to text, please pull off the road. Texting and driving isn't worth it. It's against the law, and it may cause serious injury to you or others, or even death. That's more important than anything you'll text. Please don't text and drive. I hope you're never hurt in a collision, but if you are, please contact us.
Find Bradshaw & Bryant, personal injury attorneys at minnesotapersonalinjury.com.
Working harder, going farther, with Mike Bryant on your side, seeking justice for the injured. Bradshaw & Bryant.
For once in my life, I have someone who needs me, someone I've needed so long. For once I'm afraid I can go and
I'm back here on the JB's Low Tech Podcast. That song was For Once in My Life. It was, I believe, originally recorded by Stevie Wonder. Maybe even Stevie had covered it. But as far as I know, Stevie was the original singer of that song. And it's been covered so many times in this country that just puts it on a level of top songs ever in this country. And I played that because for once in my life, when we watch LSU women's basketball play Iowa women's basketball, for once in my life, I hope we just look at them as athletes. Nothing more, nothing less, no racial component, no feminality component, if that's even a word. Just look at them as athletes. Enjoy what you see. Don't make it a social thing. Don't make it a, this is what's wrong with America, this, that, or the other. Just watch the game and enjoy it. For once in your life, just watch the game and enjoy it. Well, I thank you for listening. Like I said, this has been kind of a semi-emergency pod on April Fool's Day. But the topic is definitely not a joke. Until next time, see you around here on the JB's Low Tech Podcast.
JB is my name, and f***ing up motherfuckers is my game.
I am Negro, Black, African American.
Black. Django,
JB. Damn, Dolomite. Great God in heaven, you know I.
Our great Negro sex machine.